Coming up right now from WNCW is this week's Friday Feature Interview of the Week. My name is Paul Foster. November continues National Native American Heritage Month, a good time to spotlight and talk about the Eastern Band of Cherokee Indians of Western North Carolina. My guest this morning is Principal Chief Richard Sneed. Richard, good morning.
Good morning, Paul.
Take us back in time and share the early years of the Eastern Band of Cherokee Indians.
Sure, I'd be glad to. So the Eastern Band of Cherokee Indians were at one time one of the largest tribes in the Southeast. The Cherokee land base at one time covered seven states, including North Carolina, the major part of Georgia, Alabama, Tennessee, Virginia, Kentucky, and then I think dipped into South Carolina as well. Very large land base, going on to be called by the federal government one of the five civilized tribes that adopted early assimilation, if you will, to European dress, European style of government, European education, language, religion, all in an attempt to maintain their ties to the land in the South. Our ancestors saw the changing times, and they were promised by the government if they adopted the ways of the white man that they would be able to stay. And of course, that didn't happen with the Indian Removal Act signed by President Andrew Jackson in late 1830s or mid 1830s. So our ancestors were those who resisted removal. There are now three federally recognized tribes. There's Cherokee Nation in Oklahoma. There's United Kituwa Band, which is also in Oklahoma. And then the Eastern Band here in North Carolina. We're the direct descendants of them.
Chief, over time, over many years, what has been an ongoing commitment of the Eastern Band of Cherokee Indians, its heritage, its priorities?
Well, over the past 20 years, the main focus has been language preservation, and especially over the last 15 years. There was a renaissance of sorts with the language. And you have to keep in mind, too, that at the turn of the century, there was forced assimilation through the boarding schools, and not just for the Cherokee, for Indian tribes across the nation. There was a loss of culture, a loss of language that was very deliberate by the federal government. With that, many tribes lost their language, they lost their spiritual beliefs, their religious practices, and most definitely their language. And under the leadership of Principal Chief Michelle Hicks in the early 2000s, there was a real focus on language preservation. At that time, the New Kituwa Language Academy was created, a language immersion school that we have. An emphasis was placed on teaching Cherokee history and Cherokee language in our public school system, Cherokee Central Schools, and also on the arts. So there's been a real growth in the number of young artisans in Cherokee. In addition to, of course, we have generations of just extremely talented artisans. That's been a real focus and continues to be. We have only a couple of hundred fluent Cherokee speakers left, and so it's a race against the clock.
Are you one of those fluent Cherokee language speakers?
No, sir. No, I'm not. Most fluent speakers that we have are, as I said, are really up there in age. They're our elders. They grew up speaking the language, but there's such a small number of them left. The people who are learning now, Cherokee is a very difficult language to learn. We're fortunate that we have at UNC Asheville, we have Dr. Trey Adcock and Gil Jackson run a Cherokee Studies program over there, and they're having great success teaching students the language. I think right now we have a cohort of 20 students. They've learned to read Cherokee syllabary. They're actually interpreting historical documents from Cherokee into English. So we're having success, but the more difficult part is people being able to speak conversationally in Cherokee.
It's the Friday Feature from WNCW. Our guest right now is Principal Chief Richard Sneed of the Eastern Band of Cherokee Indians. As we are spotlighting them, we are remembering National Native American Heritage Month across the United States. Chief, you had mentioned that generally it certainly was someone of an older individual who could still speak the language. That brings us to some sad news that was recently learned just this past weekend, the passing of one Amanda Swimmer, was named a beloved woman of the Cherokee Indians. She could still speak the language. Tell us about her story.
Amanda was an amazing woman. She really embodied all the values of what it means to be Cherokee. And she was a fluent speaker and a very talented artisan. She was 97 years old. She was named beloved woman of the tribe. And that really comes down to not only her accomplishments, receiving an honorary doctorate from UNCA, multiple awards for her art throughout the years. The main thing that made her a beloved woman of the tribe was just her love for her people. Amanda loved everybody she met, and everybody loved Amanda. Cherokee women are strong. They're historically, that was one of the things that was very difficult for the Europeans who came here to understand or grasp that. Cherokees always valued the wisdom and the input of their women in government, which was just unheard of back then. Amanda was one of the sweetest women you could ever meet. She could also, she was tough. She would come to the council house and, you know, she would let the council members and the chief know what her thoughts were on issues, especially when it came to our schools and our children. She had a great love for our children and our young people, and was always very concerned about them. She's going to be terribly missed. And again, another fluent speaker that has passed on. We're very fortunate that members of her family are speakers and teachers. Her values and her truth will live on through her family members.
It is my understanding, when you talk about the artist of Amanda Swimmer, when it came to the pottery, that she wanted to teach that particular style of pottery because it was about the heritage and your people that went way back. She wanted to teach that to others.
Absolutely. And that's one of the points, too. You know, we talk often about how we value our elders in Cherokee. That's one of our traditional beliefs. And one of the things that we do is we honor our elders. When I have opportunities to talk to the older generation, you can be elderly or you can be an elder, but the choice is yours to choose to embody that. And Amanda certainly did that, and to keep teaching others to make pottery.
Chief, what would you say to someone who's listening this morning that it's maybe been a number of years since they've been to Cherokee, or maybe they've never been before, if they would like to come and visit as far as things to do and things to see?
It's amazing to me how so much has changed, and yet so much about Cherokee has remained the same. We have, of course, the casino that has changed a lot. You know, now the largest hotel in the state with three towers. I think more importantly are everything that surrounds that, because that tends to become the focus when people think of Cherokee. They think of gaming. For folks who are interested in learning history and about our culture, we have just a tremendous museum that tells our story. Spring and summer months and into the early fall, we have the Living Indian Village, which is, you know, an interactive experience learning about our culture and our history. Of course, the drama, which has been going on for, I think, over 70 years now, runs in the spring and summer. There's so much natural beauty in Cherokee as well. We're right at the southern entrance to the Great Smoky Mountains National Park. We have the elk now that are everywhere. There's a lot of people, I think, come just to see the elk because they've really just become a real feature of our community. Things to do outdoors. You know, just last year, we opened a new mountain bike trail system called Fire Mountain Trails. It has grown in popularity so fast that I don't think any of us expected it to have the impact on ecotourism that it's having, but literally have people coming from around the world who have seen it on YouTube and on the internet that made the journey to come here. It's a tremendous trail system. We've got waterfalls, and just if you like, love hiking, there's just a lot to do here.
Thank you so very much for sharing some time with us this morning on WNCW to spotlight the Eastern Band of Cherokee Indians. Our guest has been Principal Chief Richard Sneed. Chief, again, thank you.
Thank you, Paul.
WNCW Friday Features of the Week are also available as a podcast on our website, wncw.org. I'm Paul Foster.